Hello and welcome to the Next Stage podcast by Web Summit, taking you inside the minds of business leaders and cultural icons from around the world. Today, we're giving you a peek behind the curtain of the first online edition of our North American tech event, Collision from Home. In today's talk, we hear the fascinating story of how Huda and Mona Katten, co-founders of Huda Beauty, built a business empire that includes skincare, cosmetics, and fragrance products. The duo has also created a massive digital community, including more than 43 million Instagram followers. Listen in as we hear about their unique and successful multi-channel approach to content and commerce, and much, much more.
Huda, Mona, thank you so much for joining us for this conversation. There's a lot we want to talk about. But let's talk about what's happening in the world today. So a lot of brands, let's start with that. A lot of brands and businesses are having, and companies are having to meet the moment, whether that moment is COVID and social distancing, whether that is their stance and their take on what is happening with protests against systemic racism in the US. Your business has done a lot in recent weeks. You've foregone salaries, you've made significant donations to the NAACP and the Doctors Without Borders, and you've been helping lift up beauty entrepreneurs. Huda, let's start with you. What have you learned about yourself as a leader, and how did you come to making those decisions?
Yeah, times like this have been really tough. I think they really kind of have been completely unexpected. There's been so many things that happened. 2020 has definitely been an unprecedented year from the very beginning with coronavirus to Black Lives Matter and the need to really uplift that movement and give light to that movement. There's been a lot of emotions and a lot of, I think, anxiety within the beauty industry right now. And when all this happened, I think the first thing that we kind of wanted to do was to look at our team. Our team is our family. We love them so much. We think about them so much. And so before we even did any action, one of the first things that we wanted to do was really think about their mental health, because that was the first thing I think that I thought that people are going to feel a little anxious about, whether that's job security, whether that's worry about their family, whether that's worry about their salaries. I actually sent a message to my senior leadership team as soon as everything kind of kicked off. We started working from home immediately. I think we were one of the first beauty brands to start working from home, but we were definitely one of the first brands in Dubai. And as soon as we did, I told my entire organization, I sent them a message. I said, I know everyone is stressed, but our senior leaders, I don't want you guys to be worried about your workload. I know you guys are overperformers. I know you guys are overachievers. I'm not worried about you guys performing. I'm worried about your mental health right now. So know that I don't have any extraordinary expectations on you. I just want you to take care of yourself, take care of your family, and really make sure that you uphold those, the qualities of what it means to be a Huda Beauty team member. And I think that message was really important because we set the tone for what to expect during times like this. And I think I was kind of surprised with myself also as a leader and some of the choices that we made and the sacrifices, the lengths that we were willing to go to protect our team. We were going to do whatever we have to do. Yes, we forewent salaries, but we wanted to do whatever we needed to do to make sure that our team felt good. It felt comfortable, with everything going on right now, because they're tough.
So I think mental health and talking to people about that in these times are super important. Mona, you've also made as a company a lot of financial decisions, whether it's the foregoing salary, whether it's donating $500,000 to the NAACP, whether it's, significant donations to Doctors Without Borders. How do you make that decision as a leader? How do you sit down and be like, this is what we can do? I'm not going to take wages for the rest of the year. Talk me through that process.
I mean, to be very honest with you, we didn't even think about it. As soon as our CFO came to us with plans and he said, what can we do to save budgets? We were like, absolutely, we'll forego our salaries before we ever decide on even thinking about reducing our headcount and letting our team go, because our team is a part of our family. And, we really do believe they are our most valuable asset. Without them, like, what do we have? Your team, honestly, is everything. So they're very important to us. So from that perspective, in terms of our employees, that was never even a question. I mean, I think Huda came to us, she's like, how do you guys feel about this? We're like, nobody even blinked. We're all like, absolutely, we're going to do this. So that was great. And then also with supporting Doctors Without Borders, like during the COVID crisis and, you know, all the freelance makeup artists, that was, again, like something that we just felt like we had a responsibility to give back when people needed it. You know, the truth is, you know, yes, we have had sales decline like everybody else. But thankfully, we've managed our cash flows well. We, you know, we have a pretty solid balance sheet. So we're able to give back. So we have to. You know, people need us right now. If you can give back right now, you have to give back. I think everybody should. Anybody who is able to has to. So it was definitely something that we just didn't even question. And then now with everything going on with, you know, Black Lives Matter, again, it's something that we just really believe needs to be supported. It's so heartbreaking when we see everything in the States with everything going on. It's just, I don't think we could not be taking action right now. You know, what would we be? I wouldn't feel good about myself if we didn't make an impact now. Like we, you know, we can't not give back right now. It's just so crucial. It's a part of our DNA and it's a part of our brand values. And it's everything we're still working for, you know, it's to give back and to create impact.
You guys are now working with early stage investment fund called Huda Beauty Angels, which is a, you know, $10 million fund. What are you passing on? What do you wish you learned, you knew before you went into the process of building a business? And talk to me about some of the early stage investments that you are seeing and supporting with Huda Beauty Angels.
Yeah, Huda Beauty Angels is a passion project, to be honest. It's one where we are focusing specifically on women, and we are hoping to really kind of, you know, to pave the way for the next generation of female founders. And it's one where I really am pouring a lot of my heart and soul into it. We're not making a lot of investments there. We are in the trenches with all the founders that we're investing in. We have already made an investment and we are in the trenches with this particular individual. And there are some days where it is, you know, it's not, they're not, you know, we're really tough. And there's some days where we're all singing Kumbaya, we're hoping and we're wishful for the future. But there, you know, there's days where I'm really like trying to really kind of jam everything that I've learned in 10 years in sometimes 15 minutes and sometimes an hour and sometimes 2 hours. And sometimes those lessons can be harsh too, because, you know, we did not have investors in the very beginning. I think sometimes it being so tough was perhaps good for us. You know, we didn't necessarily have connections. We were in the Middle East. Making it big as a beauty brand in the States was not really promising. As Sephora US first told us, no, they didn't want to stock us for a good year. And
one of the biggest mistakes you're seeing other people that are coming in the beauty space or any space really, especially for the female startup founders of businesses that will be listening to this. What do you think some of the biggest mistakes you're seeing people are making at the early stages that are challenges for them?
I think a lot of times people are not trusting themselves. And I think that there is, you know, a combination of things, whether it's not trusting yourself and thinking that everybody around you has the answer. I always say something in our company. I'm always like, you know, genius, what I think genius is something where you have an idea and it just sounds a little crazy. Doesn't sound normal. And, you know, you go, I always call it your genius zone. And you go in there and you're like, ooh, that was a little weird. I'm like, go there, live there, let it marinate. That's your genius zone. All the craziest ideas, all the weird ideas are actually your ideas of genius. You just maybe don't know how to articulate it. You don't know how to make it into a product. But the crazy ideas are sometimes the right ones. I think a lot of people don't trust themselves enough.
How are you imparting on some of these, you know, early stage investment beauty brands, you know, beauty artists, like this is how you ask for more? Is that a conversation you're having?
Sometimes, to be honest, we're very protective. Right now, the investment that we have been making, we've been very protective. And we're like, I'm not joking, we're in the trenches with them. So, you know, sometimes we do have to teach them how to negotiate, but a little bit also on how to, it's not always about negotiating. It's like, how do you sell something? How do you make something super sexy? How do you make people want things? And, you know, and then, you know, retailers, whoever it was, they'll come rolling, they'll come like crying to you, you know? So, you know, and sometimes those things work. Sometimes you have to be patient. But, you know, ultimately you just have to be persistent, you know, and I think that's one thing that we always tell them.
What are you guys seeing? You have this global beauty brand. What are women spending money on in the beauty space at the moment?
I think you're definitely right. I feel like mascara is something because a lot of people aren't able to do their lash extensions. So they're like, crap, we really need to get back into finding the best mascara. So we've definitely seen, you know, our mascara has, you know, thank God has had a lot of success and it's picking up really strong. Lipstick again, I think when people are still having their FaceTime calls, like even if you don't want to do full glam, you're going to put on lipstick and mascara. So it's definitely something great. And then in fragrance, home fragrance is actually exploding. So candles, diffusers, things that really help set the mood at home. I mean, I'm obsessed with fragrance, but I've been lighting candles every day and playing like nice jazz music in the background, just so I feel like I'm in a cafe. To just change the vibe. And I feel like that's definitely something that's really picking up in the industry.
Mona, stay with you for a minute. We're also, you know, businesses, editors, leaders across every industry have had to change dramatically in the last 12 months. They also at the same time are trying to make medium and long-term plans. What does the rest of 2020 and going into 2021 look like for you guys?
You know, we are thankfully still at a place where we're super agile. So we do make plans, but at the same time, we do pivot if we need to. And we've created projections for from now to the end of the year. And we keep evaluating it almost on a daily basis. So we know that if we need to reduce quantities and forecasts, because, you know, from a supply chain perspective, this has probably been one of the most crazy moments for us, because it's like, you know, as you know, Huda had mentioned before, you know, if we're going to be launching a product and now we're not launching a product, what do we do if we've ordered some of the components, or what if there's some of the materials that will expire? So from a supply chain perspective, it's pretty crazy, but we just keep touching base with the teams on a daily basis, and we just have to keep staying agile. I think being able to adapt to change is one of the most important factors for anyone right now. So just remain as fluid as you can, and we have to problem solve together. So we have plans, but we just know that they're going to keep adjusting every single week.
Huda, one of the things you guys have worked on is virtual consultations. So we're seeing new types of business, grow up in this digital Zoom economy that we're living in at the moment. Talk us through what you've done with the virtual consultation, how it's worked, how it's helped the brand.
To be honest, it's still pretty new. It's one of the things that we wanted to do with our field team in the US. So we said, you know, let's adapt them. They're not able to go out into the field. Let's have them do virtual makeovers. And they're still quite new. And I don't know if they've necessarily picked up the way we would have liked it to. But it's still an opportunity. And I think one of the most important things is that we're going to realize is after we've kind of, you know, we've set this tone of trying virtual makeovers, of even, you know, any of the adaptations we've had, we're probably going to be implementing a lot of these even after everything kind of sets in. So, you know, it's still pretty new. It's not necessarily, I think, successful. I wouldn't say successful yet, but it's an opportunity of something we want to explore and we're trying to explore. And I think it's something that will continue even afterwards.
We're also saying beauty is a very intimate industry, right? It's a lot of touching, it's face, it's, you know, when I think about the beauty industry in particular, especially when we're talking about social distancing, it's hard, right? So for artists out there, for, you know, samples, for all of that, how do you think the business of beauty is going to change because of what is a, you know, once in a lifetime global pandemic?
Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely an assumption that people will be more careful and they'll be, I think, more delicate with the way they are going into stores and the way you're using testers. But the reality, the unfortunate reality is that people do forget quite quickly. And especially when it's second nature to kind of go back to where their lifestyles are, we're already seeing a huge uptick within stores almost immediately once the store just opened in Europe. As soon as our doors were open in I think around the 1100 Sephora doors that were open in Europe, you know, sales, they didn't go up where they were, but the sales really went there. And I'm assuming people will be careful in the beginning, but unfortunately, I don't think it will last for very long. You know, and that's the unfortunate truth.
I've talked to a lot of women in business in recent weeks, and those that didn't have a strong e-commerce footing have really had to up their games. Your company works in both bricks and mortar and commerce. What does that future look like for you? Where's the emphasis? Where's the efforts going into in terms of, do we see a longer term change into where and how people are spending money?
I am definitely, I think, one of the most adamant people in our company on e-commerce. I think previously when most businesses were like, we need to launch a site and go D2C, I was on the idea of knowing to be in retailers so they can grow our business. And so we kind of did things in many ways backwards than most companies did. But in some way, I actually think it kind of helped our business at the time because we were able to touch so many people that, you know, we weren't necessarily able to. A lot of people who were shopping for us in Sephora actually didn't know who we were. Now we are trying to focus on our D2C, but I think what we're going to do is have a very differentiated approach. So we will have some products exclusive for our direct consumer business. And then we'll still have some, you know, some items that will be, you know, more shoppable in stores. A lot of people will want to touch products. The thing that you see around color cosmetics and even, you know, loosely within skincare as well is, you know, the need to go into stores and try products. And I don't think that's going to change.
Mona, we talk about dollars over purpose. What are you seeing in the industry? How important is it for you to have, you know, we talked at the start of this chat about supporting certain causes and getting the message of what you represent out there. How important is that for your company?
Honestly, it's everything. You know, in 2017, when we got our investors, you know, we had several offers on the business and we had the opportunity to sell the company. But for us, we knew that our mission was so much bigger than, you know, making money and retiring. So we're not in this for the money. We're in this 100% for purpose. We want to make a good impact in the industry and also in humanity. So we have a lot of purpose in our company, in ourselves, and we just really want to touch as many people as we can in the most positive way. So whether it's through, you know, inspiring them to take better care of themselves or to give back to others, you know, this is what we're here for, 100%.
Are you seeing that consumers are much more conscious of where they're putting their dollars in terms of what brands are spending it with, what it says about them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we saw the trend even before 2020 happened and everything that happened in 2020. But, you know, we definitely feel like even as a consumer, I care about where I spend my money. I want to make sure that, you know, the money that I spend in any company, they're treating their employees right. You know, they're conscious about their sustainability, about the environment. So, you know, as a person, I think as a family, we're very conscious. Our entire team is super conscious. So, yeah, it's definitely very, very important.
And Huda, final question to you. What does the future look like of Huda Beauty? What's the goal? What's the ambition for 2021 and beyond?
You know, we're going to continue. You know, I think 2020 has been a very telling year. It's been a year of necessary growth for us as individuals, for us as company owners, as leaders. And I think that what's we're really going to see is hopefully expansion on that. I think that the beauty industry will never be the same. I think it's easy to say that because of what's happened in 2020. Influencers as well really need to change their strategy. We just need to care more. Seeing so many things happen within the world and just continuing to post content, to continuing to launch products as if nothing is going on just is really careless. So I think we're going to see a more considerate beauty industry, and we're going to hopefully be a part of that, and we're going to be a part of leading that. And you know, we've always said we want our mission is to give people the products they deserve, to make a very inclusive environment, people feel powerful, and you know, and hopefully to be a more considered, a more considerable beauty brand.
Is there any big market, your global brand, any big markets that you really want to crack in the coming months or years?
Well, we are launching in Southeast Asia and in South Korea. So we're very excited about that. So we're hoping to make wave there. It's a very different market, you know, but we're hoping we've also launched in Tmall. We're not able to launch in China, of course, because we're still testing on animals, but you know, we're trying to make wave there without, you know, without compromising our values, but we'll see what happens. It's a completely different world. It's a completely different universe.
But Mona, thank you so much for joining us. It's a great conversation. I could talk to you all for hours. conversation condition staying at home.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening. WebSummit 2020 is right around the corner, so be sure to check out websummit.com/tickets for more info.